Our scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 39. I will be reading chapter 11 through 18. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. Again, the Jews were divided because of these words. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
As Kathy said with our first scripture reading, our scripture passage this morning is actually from several verses in the 10th chapter of John. She read the first portion of it, and I will pick up with the continuing of that reading. But I will begin with the last verse that she read as a point of continuation. Again, the Jews were divided because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is out of his mind. Why listen to him?" And others were saying, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered round him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else. And no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus replied, "I've shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these are you going to stone me?" And the Jews answered, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy. Because you, though only a human being, are making yourself God." And Jesus answered, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? If those to whom the word of God came were called gods, and the scripture cannot be annulled, can you say that the one whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world is blaspheming because I said, 'I am God's Son'? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, for that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father." Then they tried to arrest him again, but he escaped from their hands. for the Word in creation, for the Word in Scripture, and for the Word within us. Thanks be to God. So this morning, we continue a series of sermons that we started last week, the theme of which is from worshiping Jesus to following Jesus. It's a movement from basing our faith in the belief in dogma and doctrine into the living of our faith through values. Last week we ended by talking about when we are following someone or following along a pathway, one of the ancient means of identifying a path was a cairn, a pile of stones to say, this is the way we go. And so we are today going to look at some of those cairns that are on this journey. And probably the first place to look would be Jesus. If we're going to follow Jesus, let's look and see what Jesus says. Let's look at the story of Jesus' life and see where Jesus goes. Because Jesus himself says, I am the way. So if Jesus is the way we are to follow, then we need to pay attention to what Jesus teaches us and how Jesus lives. Because you see, for so many, many, many years in Christianity, we have focused on what others have taught us about Jesus. This happens very, very early in the evolution of the faith as this sect of Judaism that was following Jesus becomes what we begin to call Christians. And a big part of that is that we begin to have teachings about Jesus rather than paying attention to the teachings of Jesus. So this passage that we read from John this morning is a good example of this. Actually, it's a good example of the very same dynamic taking place within this story. And we'll get to that in just a moment. This story is packed with so much information, so much metaphor, so much allusion. It's allegorical in so many different ways. People have spent centuries trying to figure out who the shepherd is, who the sheep are, who the wolf is, all of this stuff. But if you strip away all of the things that we've been told about this and just read the words that Jesus talks about, he's basically talking about sheep following a shepherd. And he calls himself the Good Shepherd. And even within the story, we hear that word follow several times. And he even opens up the story a little bit by saying, and these aren't the only sheep. There are other sheep. He doesn't elaborate on that. But he opens up the possibility that this is not just for the people that are in front of him. This is for others as well. People who hear what he has to say, who hear his teachings, and who want to follow, which basically means to live in that way. There's an emphasis on following Jesus. I couldn't help but remember a story, an incident in my own life about following. I hadn't thought of this in many, many years. But back in January of 1991, I was in seminary, and I was enrolled in a class called the Alternative Context class at Columbia Seminary, which is basically where a group of seminarians go to an alternative place that's totally different from their own experience and try to experience a different culture and the gospel within that culture. I went with seven other seminarians and a professor to Hungary. Now, if you think about the date, 1991 was just after the fall of the Iron Curtain. And so all of Eastern Europe was beginning to open up. It wasn't totally open yet. And so we went into Hungary to experience this shift in culture. And how is the church handling it in the gospel? Well, we spent our first night on this trip in Vienna. On the way to Hungary, our first stop was in Vienna, and that was just to have a day to sort of get settled in, and then we went on into Budapest. Well, it just so happened that the day we were spending in Vienna was New Year's Eve. It was New Year's Eve and New Year's Day that we were in Vienna. So our group was, oh wow, we're in Vienna for New Year's Eve. And we decided to go, we all went out to dinner together. And as we came out of the restaurant, we came out on the sidewalk, and we must have looked like lost sheep. Our professor was conversant in German. A couple of our students were semi-conversant in German and French. We had studied some little Hungarian phrases, but we weren't in Hungary yet, remember? And there we were, looking around. It was new. The streets were just filled with people. What do we do? Where do we go? And this short man walks up to us and says, "Do you speak German?" And our professor says, and this is in German, by the way, and our professor says, "Well, just a little." Then he says, "Well, how about Italian?" "No Italian." And then he deciphered it very quickly. "You must be American." Because we are Americans are one of the few cultures that where we're widely just one language. So we said, "Yes, we're American." So then he breaks into perfect English with a heavy accent, of course. And what he said to us was, "Follow me." Now, I know it sounds strange, but here we were, this group of seminarians, and this guy had just stepped into our lives, and he said, "Follow me." And we followed him. What else were we going to do? And that was the beginning of one of the most amazing experiences in my life. This man took us all over old town Vienna in places that tourists would never go. He took us down alleys. He took us down streets, pointing out historic things. We learned that he was a prisoner of war in World War II. Our prisoner of war. which is where he learned his English. He showed us places that were still on the buildings that were pockmarked with holes. He said, bullets, American bullets, by the way. At one point, one of my classmates go, you know, we don't even know this guy. Is he trying to get revenge? Where are we going? But we continued to follow Herr Hummel. Heinrich Hummel was his name. And he would call us, he called us amigos. Amigos, follow me. And we were off to another piece of adventure as he showed us this historical spot. This is the apartment where Mozart wrote Figaro. This is where this happened. And we ended up in the bowels of old Vienna in a pub that dated back to the Roman occupation. Having drinks and sausages with Herr Hummel's friends who just pulled us in. And then at 11:30, he jumps up from the table and he says, amigos, follow me. And we ended up at St. Stephen's Square. In Old Town Vienna, there's the St. Stephen's Cathedral there. It's a giant open plaza. Some of you may have been there. On New Year's Eve, it's like Times Square in New York City, packed with people, waiting for the bell to ring to bring in the new year. And just before it happened, Herr Hummel walked around our group and he had a little bag and he gave each one of us a little trinket. Just a little plastic charm as a New Year's Eve gift. And the bell rang. And we celebrated New Year's Eve. Now the next day, we had to catch a train to Budapest. And on our way to the train, we were pulling our luggage along the sidewalk. And we heard from across the street, amigos! And it was Herr Hummel. And he ran over to greet us again. And by then, he was an old friend. We were all hugging. And he told us goodbye. And we made sure we had left him the night before, not even knowing how to get in touch with him. But we got his address. And for the next 4 or 5 years, every seminary group from Columbia Seminary that went to Budapest, that spent time in Vienna, their first contact was Herr Hummel. And he would give them a tour. And it all started with, follow me. Not knowing where we were going, we took that first step. Follow me. That's all Jesus says to us is follow me. But what do the religious leaders do? What do the religious leaders do? They get all upset. They want to know, well, wait a minute, you got to tell us, are you the Messiah or not? And Jesus says, "What? I've shown you. Look at my works. Look at my works. I bring eternal life to people." And this is not life after death. The New Testament concept of eternal life is not what we have come to think of as this is what happens after we die. Eternity is eternity. We are in eternity right now. It's part of it. Eternity is a continuum of time with infinity on either end, if you want to think of it in linear terms. We are in eternal. And what Jesus is teaching us and telling us is, I want to bring you that life right now. And this is the way you have eternal life. And you have eternal life by knowing me. Later on in the Gospel of John, in the 17th chapter of John, when Jesus is just about to go get arrested, he says a prayer for his disciples. And in that prayer, he says, Lord, give eternal life to all whom you have given me. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. And then he says, God and I are one, and that is greater than everything else. And then they start shouting, stone him. Stone him. And he says, why are you stoning me? For what good work? And here is an amazing response. They say, we're not stoning you for good works. We're stoning you for blasphemy. You know what blasphemy is? Believing the wrong thing. It doesn't matter that you're healing people. It doesn't matter that you're changing people's lives. It doesn't matter that you are bringing wholeness to people. You don't believe right. Now, Jesus knows his scripture. And he says, well, what about the 82nd Psalm? What about the 82nd Psalm that says, and I read it, give justice to the weak and the orphan. Maintain the right of the lowly and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. I say, you are God's children of Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, you shall die like mortals and fall like princes. You are gods and you don't even know it. Now, is this saying that we are God? No, it's saying exactly what Jesus says again in the 17th chapter of John. In that same prayer, he says, God, I am one with you, and you are one with me, and we are one with them. That we, as created in God's image, are divinely created. And we are created to give justice to the weak and the orphan and maintain the right of the lowly and the destitute and rescue the weak of the needy and deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Do good works. Live properly. Live justly. Live compassionately. You see where this is going on right in this story with Jesus. Jesus is living the gospel. He's teaching the gospel. And he says there is nothing greater than discovering who we are and living accordingly. Nothing greater than that. He says, follow me. Follow me into what it means to be truly human. And if we follow Jesus, beliefs will begin to take care of themselves. Amen. Just in case you thought we were going to get out of here without mentioning it, today is Earth Day. It's amazing that this celebration of Earth Day only started back in 1970. It took us that long to have a day to appreciate the earth. Of course, the earth is appreciated all through our scriptures. As they tell us, even the mountains praise, the birds sing. Jesus says, if you won't do it, the stones will shout out. God is with us and calls us. Jesus calls us to remember who we are. We are children of the earth. We are Adam, which means from the earth. And the earth was breathed into existence with the breath of God. And we are given that breath. And on this day, we are called to follow Jesus. And our song just reminded us, come and follow me, and I will take you home. And guess where home is? It's right here. It's going to be like the poets and the sages of the ages have told us. We will search and search and search only to discover that what we're looking for is right here. The kingdom of God is here, Jesus says. And we are called to live in this place that we have been given and within the relationships that we have been given. And He shows us the way. Let us go from this place today and do the best we can to be, as the Apostle Paul tells us, imitators of Christ. Amen.